2%.
The 2%'s right over here.
Oh, hey, Jenna. I didn't know you shopped here.
Yeah. Anything to support local food. Know what I mean?
I definitely do. Though that's not the only thing you do in the name of Good Eats, obviously.
Well, true. I also host Eating Matters every Wednesday at 5 p.m., where we talk about food policy and how it impacts all of us. Be sure to tune in.
All right, gotta get the plug in there. I get it.
Yep, I'm hashtag shameless.
You know what else you can do to support the local food community, right?
Well, yeah. Make a donation to Heritage Radio Network, the world's pioneer food radio station.
That's right. And I gotta call you out on the whole local thing.
What do you mean?
Well, The Farm Report, A Taste of the Past, Japan Eats. Those are shows that take you around the country and the world.
I'll give you that. So how can listeners give their support?
It's pretty easy. Just go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the big red heart in the top right corner. It's pretty easy from there.
Thanks.
Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, host of Full Service Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this show, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
This is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network. Before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love, that is L-U-V, and hashtag using Primary Food, Heritage underscore Radio, and hashtag RevLove. So welcome to the seventh episode of the second season of Primary Food. And that's 19 episodes of me talking about things that nourish us. So what exactly is primary food? I learned this great concept in nutrition school at IIN, Institute for Integrative Nutrition, that the food you eat, you know, the stuff you put in your mouths and chew and enjoy, we consider that secondary food. Primary food is everything else in life that nourishes us before we sit down and eat. And that's stuff like enjoying music, reading a book, hanging out with friends, cooking food with family, a great job, creative expression, playing games, exercise. And I am so glad that I learned this because it was the high quality primary food that I kept in my life while going through chemotherapy last year that kept me happy and healing my cancer. So listeners, you can call in live at 718-497-2128. Again, that's 718-497-2128. And today's primary food focus is a continuation from last week's Asian representation. We had a Korean continuation topic today with our guest, Caroline Shin. Hey.
Hey, Cynthia.
So Caroline Shin is a journalist, and she's also the founder and the creator and the host of actually my favorite cooking show.
Woohoo!
It's a web show, right, called... What's the actual name of it?
Cooking with Granny.
Yeah, we're going to talk about how she came up with the concept, who are the grannies, and what's happening with the show right now. So tell us about the grannies. How do you find, well, tell us about the show, the basics of it.
Sure. So on Cooking with Granny, I cook with New York grandmothers of all different cultures, and as they cook in their own kitchen, they tell the most vibrant stories about their lives.
It's so beautiful. You have to check it out. Where can people find your show?
It's on YouTube. So it's youtube.com/cookingwithgranny.
And how did you come up with this concept?
So it's actually like decades in the making. Ever since I was a kid, hanging out with my grandma as she would cook the most amazing Korean foods, I knew I wanted to do something to preserve not only her recipes, but also her stories of human survival and resilience, because she's actually from North Korea. So it was not only such an important part of my own family's history, but also world history in general. And I knew it was something very important that needed to be preserved, that could not be lost with her. So ever since I was a kid, I wanted to do something around that. I thought that because I started off as a writer, my storytelling was in writing. I thought that maybe it might be a book. But when I was actually at Columbia Journalism School back in 2010, I was like, you know what? It's going to be a video series.
Hey, so glad.
Mm-hmm. You know it.
So glad, because these grannies are so cute. They're so funny. And really, this project, actually, it's a series now. How many episodes?
So it's so for every grandma, they actually get 1 to 4 different videos, depending on how many things I can get them to do. Ha 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 ha. So they're grocery store tours. The Caribbean grandmother, for instance, she gives us a Caribbean grocery store tour in Brooklyn. So that's its own standalone video. There's the actual full episode. That's me and her in her kitchen making the most delicious hot sauce ever. Now, I go around the world collecting hot sauce.
Oh,
and
wow.
I have to tell you, hers is the best. It's so tasty.
We're going to talk about that in this episode.
I wish I brought you some, actually.
I'm going to have to try to make some, even though I'm really intimidated by all those Scotch bonnets.
Yeah, and you have to make sure that you have proper ventilation.
Okay, we're going to get to that, because I have so many questions about that. So creating your own web series, I think, is just it's such a great piece of primary food. And this is a great combination of primary food and secondary food. It's creativity revolving around food. It's perfect. So tell us, what is the process of making your own show? Because there's so many people out there, like you said, it was decades in the making. You had this idea. And what finally got you to start doing it? And what's the process like?
So in 2011, that's when I put up a kind of like pilot. It was more, I wanted to do something rough and dirty, quick and dirty. And I was at New York Magazine at that time. So it was me and my boss, actually, at New York Magazine. And we trudged over to Corona, Queens to see my grandma. And that's where we filmed her making kimchi. And I put it on the back burner because I was really busy. I was at New York Magazine. I was freelancing other video projects. I really didn't have time. But then around 2014, Kickstarter was huge. And I saw this as an amazing financial opportunity to be able to get my project funded. And in the meantime, I was still talking to people about Cooking with Granny. That wasn't its original name, actually. It was called Home Cooked with...
That's why I asked you, what's the name? Because I remember it from the beginning when you announced it to me a while ago.
So, yeah. So... it was called Home Cooked, which it doesn't go by that name anymore. And I knew that people love their grandmas and they love their grandma's cooking. You know, you ask anybody, okay, so like, whose cooking do you love the best? Would you rather go to a restaurant? And I've spoken with chefs too. Like, would you rather go to a, you know, Michelin starred restaurant or your grandma's, you know, home cooking? And it's almost always like grandma's home cooking, because it's not just the taste, you know, it's the emotion. And like I said, for me, it was about family and cultural preservation. So there's so much more than just the taste or just the nutrition behind it. There's such a strong emotional connection.
Now, my pilot episode last season, first season, was about grannies.
I know.
And that is, you know, I didn't grow up with my grandmothers. They passed away when I was young, so I didn't really get to enjoy the food. So watching your episodes, I just wonder, like, what would I have experienced with them? What would they have cooked for me? What would I have learned from them? So that's why I find so much value in what you're doing. It's so beautiful to me.
Thank
you. It's so wonderful. So your aha moment when you realized, like, my grandma's awesome. When you told her you want to make a show with her, what did she say? Because how many words of English does she speak?
Oh, she actually doesn't know that many. It's actually really cute because there's this segment where she and her best friend are kind of quizzing each other. So what English do you know? And they're like, thank you. Hello.
That's it.
I love you. Yeah. And then that's kind of it. Because in New York City, you don't really need to... I mean, there's so many neat, like, cultural niches here that mm-hmm. once you kind of immerse yourself in that, sometimes, I mean, you don't really need to learn English. But the thing is, my grandma actually didn't immigrate here until the age of 60.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like she grew up with English around her, I mean, at all. So,
of course. And you want to preserve all the tradition and the culture from your own family and other people's families. I mean, these are heirloom pieces when you think about it.
Exactly. That's what I call them too. Yeah.
Yeah. And they really are. Like every time you can interview someone in your family or someone, one of your elders, it's like, it's preservation. So tell us why tradition and culture is so important to you.
Well, so So let me kind of take a step back. So my grandma, as I was saying before, she is originally from North Korea. So she escaped North Korea for South Korea during the during the Cold War, right? So it was at a time of extreme flux, frustration. I mean, she had and danger. Mm. She was carrying her child on her back. I mean, there were attack dogs. I mean, there were, I mean, deceased bodies. I mean, this is what she went through. And I had the privilege of hearing it from her own mouth, like that she experienced this. And, you know, the fallback from the split of North and South Korea, I mean, it's still ongoing. And, you know, what North Korea is trying to do with all their bomb threats. And, you know, it's still real. And my grandma was there like decades ago. So it's pretty, I mean, I think these stories should be preserved. I mean, especially because in my grandmother's case, it was such a worldwide experience.
And so important for your family.
Exactly. I
mean, the child on your grandmother's back was
my aunt.
Your aunt. But still, I mean, that's really, really powerful of an image, survival. So your grandmother, when she crossed over, how old was she? She was
21.
Oh, she was young.
I mean, could you imagine us doing that at 21? I mean, one, just being a mother, and then, I mean,
what were you doing at 21?
Exactly.
I don't even remember what I was doing at 21. Someone's waving at me from the booth, drinking, probably. Not dodging bullets and crossing, you know, lines like that.
I mean, trying to save your family? No, you know? I mean, I think I was complaining about having to go to my college class late. I mean, early, too early in the day. I think that's what I was doing.
Seriously, maybe. I don't even remember. So we're going to talk more about your granny and every single granny that you've done a show with. But we'll take a little break first and then come back and we'll talk about grannies.
Yeah, grannies.
Hello out there, it's Steve Jenkins. I'm with Fairway Markets. White Leghorn, Red Wattle, Bourbon Red, Navajo Churro. Well, these aren't names you're likely to hear at a Fairway butcher counter or any other counter today, but before the rise of factory farming, you would have. And at Heritage Foods USA, you still do. Heritage Foods USA exists to promote genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply. You see, we believe the best way to help a family farmer is to buy from them. And Heritage Foods is honored to represent a network of family farmers and artisanal producers whose work presents an immeasurable gift to our food system and to biodiversity. The meat we celebrate, whether it's heritage turkey, Japanese steaks, Berkshire pork, or Navajo churro lamb chops, is the righteous kind from healthy animals of sound genetics that have been treated humanely and allowed to pursue their natural instincts. It's a simple fact. Animals raised according to this philosophy taste better. And as we like to say, you have to eat them to save them. Visit us at heritagefoodsusa.com for more information.
Hey, we're back. And I am here with Caroline Shin, the founder and the host and the creator of my favorite cooking show online, Cooking with Granny. So Caroline, you know, there, like I mentioned earlier, there are so many people who dream of having their own show. And before we talk about your episodes, do you have any advice on how to shoot your own show? A cooking show is pretty involved. Any advice about budget, tips, tricks, cameras? Because I think technical stuff holds people back from creating sometimes. And I think that's tragic because otherwise you wouldn't be creating the show with grannies. Awesome.
What I could say that's really hard about cooking shows. Okay, so cell phones are at a point that you can use them for video. So you can just prop that up on a tripod and keep that running to capture your wide shot. The challenge with cooking shows, however, is that you really want to get those food porn close-up shots. And that's what makes it a little bit more difficult because you already have that one camera on you and you're going to be using both hands to cook. Uh-huh. And then you need to, we unfortunately don't have three hands. So you need to get out another, you know, like quickly, like dry up one hand. I mean, if you want to do it really, really low budget, right? Just have like another camera, another phone to capture just the close-ups. And then you can cut that in together later on and edit. But that's just as low budget as you can go if you do want to get those food porn shots, which I think is kind of the point of watching cooking shows, is to get those food, like, blah.
I mean,
yum.
This is just like the concept of food porn and grannies. Just,
I know.
Just kind of messing with my head right now.
I try not to say that at the same sentence, but
I had to. I couldn't move on if I didn't. It was like stuck in my brain.
There was this like one, it was like this one food porn cut that I did. It was like a really quick super cut. It was like the making of, like, I think it was the Filipino grandma's ube jalea, which is the purple yam pudding. And I did a really quick cut, kind of like the ones that you see in those like BuzzFeed recipe videos. Uh-huh. And I called it like grandma's food porn super cut or something like super. And I was like, people were like, what is this? And I was like, yeah.
That's probably something, though, that people do Google.
Actually, I got this one really weird commenter being like, he goes, oh, sorry, I thought this was going to be granny porn. So I deleted that comment. And
no.
I was like, no, sorry, wrong place. I was like, okay, I think I'm attracting the wrong market here.
So that's a challenge. Other challenges? You've had technical challenges too, I remember.
The thing, video production is just a very, very, very labor-intensive, equipment-intensive process. It's really, oh gosh, it's really hard.
And back things up because hard drives go
stolen.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, video production in and of itself is already quite difficult. But this awful thing happened. I mean, it was really just awful, like Murphy's Law, I guess. Less than a month before I was set to officially launch Cooking with Granny. This is after the Kickstarter got funded, and I set the date. It was for February 24th of last year, and then it was like February 2nd or so. I got robbed. I got burglarized. My apartment got burglarized, and it was really horrific. I walked in, and I swear I thought, like, my first thought was like, did I really leave the apartment this messy? And I was like, no. And then I saw, you know, we have a fire escape window, and the window was open, and it was in the middle of winter. It was really cold. And I was like, oh my God, that's when I was like, oh my God, oh my God, I know what happened. And I just like, I was really shocked. And I went through, of course, you know, I have a home office. The first thing I looked through was like for my laptop. My laptop was gone. My external hard drives were gone. Oh. Because I always make sure to back up and back up and back up.
Oh, jeez.
And even the SD cards, I still had the footage on them just in case, you know. But it was like all of that was gone. And not to mention, you know, just my more personal, like my jewelry, you know, that stuff. But that was really just like heart-wrenching. And then I had to re-edit several of those episodes. And that was so painful.
Hmm.
Because these episodes are like, there are hours of footage being cut down to, you know, to 10-minute episodes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the 10-minute episodes, and then, like I was saying before, we have these, like, shorter video edits as well. But I lost some of those full episodes, mm-hmm. so I had to re-edit them, and that was just, like, gut-wrenching.
Well, regardless, you're still having a huge launch coming up.
Yeah.
So you survived that. Tell us about the launch.
You mean the event?
Oh, yes, the event. Sorry.
Yeah. So far, under Kickstarter, it was for 9 different grandmas of 9 different cultures. So 7 of those grandmothers' videos have aired already. So that's YouTube, Cooking with Granny. And then there are 2 more who have not been announced yet. But in the meantime, I'm doing something really incredible. You guys should totally come if you can. And it's our very first event, but you got to listen to what it is. It's our very first cross-cultural granny cook-off dinner party.
I love it.
I'm so excited. We're partnering with El Camino, which is a pop-up series company. And it's, you know Chef Miguel Trinidad over at Maharlika?
Yes.
He's one of the chefs who we're partnering with. And then Umberto Gualpa of the Chinese-Cuban restaurant Calle Dao in Midtown.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're going to be the ones adapting the recipes because the grandmothers can't cook for that many people. And it's going to be a multi-course dinner.
Where is this going to be?
It's going to be in Williamsburg.
Open to the public and everything?
Not open to the public. Okay. It will be a ticketed event, but limited seating. And
amazing. That's amazing.
You have to wait for more details.
Oh, okay. So hang tight for more details. We're going to talk about a little bit about each episode because I love them. They're just so wonderful. Each one is a gem, really. But the first question I have for you is, how do you find your grannies? They're so different.
That's the number one question, I guess. So I'm really lucky because I grew up in New York. So a lot of it has actually been word of mouth.
Okay.
So friends of friends.
So someone's like, my granny is.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. My granny has like the best like pernil or, you know, or like my mom who is a grandma has, you know, she makes the best stuffed peppers or, you know, so that was the easiest way. And then also when I did the Kickstarter, so that's another note for people who want to do something on Kickstarter. It actually gives you some really great publicity. When I did Kickstarter, I actually had people reaching out to me pitching their own grandmas.
Oh, that's great. Hey, that's a great tip. And your episodes on YouTube, do you get negative comments about grannies or anything like that? Because YouTube, you know, the world's weird.
Yeah, I have, but there really have been maybe like less than 5.
That's the delete button right there.
Yeah. And it was really cool this one time because there was this one guy who actually didn't even watch the whole episode. And then he automatically started, you know, it's like the world of hateration. And this guy was like,
how could you hate grannies?
He said, oh, well, that Puerto Rican grandma's not even really Puerto Rican because she's actually from the Bronx. So I think her pernil is different from the way I've seen it done. And I was like, actually, she grew up in Puerto Rico. Like, she did not grow up in the Bronx. I mean, if you had watched the episode, you would see this. But it was great because I had somebody else actually swoop in and defend her and be like, you obviously didn't watch the show. And I was like, yes. Go granny fans. Thank you.
I love it. You need to make t-shirts. Granny fans. This is great.
I went to this hot sauce festival once and I had a t-shirt that says grannies like it hot. And I was like, but that's just like a one-time thing. I'm not actually going to sell this.
Grannies like it hot. Again. The direction of this podcast.
Oh, God. I know, right?
We're going to start talking about these grannies. With granny number one, your grandma, who is in the pilot episode, and she's making the young radish kimchi.
Yeah.
Is that it? So that's really awesome. First of all, what I love about Korean cooking is the scissor. Can I tell you?
Oh.
Using...
I know, right? You even when you go to Korean barbecue places, there they are, like chopping up the meats, right?
Talk about the scissor for a sec, because that just made me so happy. It's brilliant.
Yeah. So, Okay. So there's this where that's actually from the pork belly episode. Is that Is that the one you're referring to? Yeah. So, you know, with pork belly, it's very fatty. So, you know, it gets very greasy and you kind of want to, you want to take out that grease from the pan. So my grandma got, you know, this paper towel and then she starts swooping, you know, swiping the grease off. But instead of her hands or even chopsticks, she started like using her scissors to kind of move it around. And I was like, Grandma, do you want to use chopsticks? And she goes, no. I'm like, okay.
You can't mess it with Granny's style.
No, you can't.
That's the thing.
You can't. Oh, and on that note, another thing that I've noticed is like grandmas have, okay, one, some trends about grandma's cooking. One, they never measure. We know this, right?
They never measure.
They never measure. And then they're just like, they taste it and they're like, no, maybe not. This is really, really hard because I'm working on the e-recipes, right? And I'm the recipes, right?
You're making the recipe book.
I'm putting together the e-recipe book. And if they're like, they put in like a sprinkle of salt at one point and they taste it and they do it again
so
without even telling
you. Like a quarter cup, like a granny hand of salt?
Yeah, kind of. And they don't measure, and then they just kind of just like, you know, they're throwing this in and throwing that in at all different times just by taste, which makes it delicious, but it makes it really, really difficult to document a recipe out of
that.
So it's
by taste, by their intuition, and by years, literally decades of cooking that they know.
Just looking at it.
And just looking at it. That's amazing.
I've even said, well, how do you know when it's ready to turn off the heat? And then they go, I just do. It's like, okay, thanks. Well, that's really helpful. Thanks, Grandma. Okay.
Okay. So that's a really funny challenge on your end to document.
Oh, gosh, that is so hard. Because so many times I know I drive them crazy because I'm like, wait, didn't get that. You have to do it again. And they're just like, oh, my God, she told me it was going to be easy. And I was like, sorry, Grandma.
I love these grandmas not measuring and using their hands for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember a friend of mine, she was cooking. Her grandma was cooking and she reached into, I thought it was hot oil. It had to be hot oil. She just reached in and like pulled the thing out. I was like, well, okay.
You have to see the next grandma. Oh my, she does something like.
One of your grandmas, she burns herself a little bit on the pot and she's like, I'm fine.
Yeah. And she goes, oh, ow. And I go, are you okay? She goes, oh, I'm fine. It happens all the time. I'm like, all right. Oh, and the other thing about grandmas that I learned, they have some of the bluntest knives. They don't sharpen them.
That is so frightening.
And it's just, that's what I mean by like, you know, you just can't really mess with their style.
Knife skills
because
is like.
These are their knives. They've had them for a long time and that's what they're going to use. So actually it was a Greek grandma. She told me that her son had gotten her like a new knife set. Mm-hmm. And it's still just collecting dust. And I was like, your knives are really blunt. And then she goes, yeah.
But they don't cut themselves.
No. No.
And they probably cut towards themselves. And
they never do. You have. Okay. In the radish kimchi episode, my grandma, the way she cuts, I'm like, oh
I was
my.
Watching that. I saw that. I was like, please don't cut yourself. But no.
But they just don't. Maybe they that's don't. Why they use such blunt knives. Because they know that if they were to mess up, it won't do anything.
It would
because,
only scratch I mean, them.
It's like a pencil. It barely cuts.
Your grandma has, I think it was your grandma's episode. She has the same plates that I grew up with. The white plates with little green flowers.
Yeah.
I saw it and I was like, oh, it's just like home.
Yeah.
In your first episode with Grant, what do you call your granny?
Halmani.
Okay. I can't say that.
So the reason it's called Cooking with Granny is because it's named after my grandma. My sibs and I call her Granny.
Oh, okay. And she's cooking the pork belly in the first episode. So tell us about that first episode. How fun was that? How did she respond to the cameras and everything?
Okay, so the very first one that was on kimchi, and she has like a really stern face because she really didn't know what was going on. And also, she doesn't know English, she didn't know what I was saying, right? So I would say, okay, so are we ready? And then it was my bad too because I had forgotten, like, she doesn't know what I'm saying. And then she would still stand there being like,
waiting.
Like, Grandma, we're going. And then she goes, oh, well, I don't understand.
Well, like, you have subtitles. The subtitles are so sweet.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful. So that was the pilot.
The kimchi one was the pilot. And then the pork belly was the first episode that came after the Kickstarter campaign.
Okay. Any challenges, any funny stories with the pork belly one?
Yeah. Well,
I can smell what you're cooking through the I mean, it just looked incredible.
It was really, really good. I mean, there's nothing like grandma's cooking. But what was really incredible, and I totally did not time this, was so for every video, it's always a recipe and a story. It's not a straight cooking show. And I had sat my grandma down to do the interview part. And this is where I wanted to go more in depth about, her trek from North Korea. And I was asking her, cause my grandma's really popular, actually.
Love it.
She's like the most popular granny on the block. That's what my sibs and I call her. And, so I was asking her, well, where are your friends? And she's like, no, it's a Sunday. They don't come. And I said, okay, well, what about your best friend? You guys are always together. They're known as the best friends in their senior living quarters,
so
right? And then my grandma's like, no, she's not going to come today because it's Sunday. She went to church, so she's going to be tired. And then right at that moment, the bell rings.
Oh.
And it's her best friend. And
that wasn't coordinated?
No, it was not coordinated. And
that's so funny. Watch that episode.
I was like,
that's
freaking
so cute.
Out because wow. I was like, oh, is this really happening? Is this really happening?
And there she was. This episode with Granny and her best friend is so adorable, the way they talk with each other.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They're so cute. And then the lipstick moment.
The lipstick. And then when they talk about North Korea.
Yeah.
That's really deep. Really
yeah.
deep stuff there. And then they're cute all over again. I love that episode. I highly encourage everyone who's listening to check that episode out. The next episode with Grandma Louisa.
Yeah.
The chili peppers.
Yeah.
The hot
the
sauce.
Scotch bonnet.
Talk about that.
Whew.
Because let me tell you, watching it, I'm cracking up because when you had to taste test it and she was fine, you taste test it and you're like, your body's on fire.
Yeah. I knew it was serious once she got out the surgical equipment. No, seriously. She got the surgical gloves and friggin' goggles.
Well, of course. It's Scotch bonnet peppers. That's like one of the hottest, right?
Yeah.
And she had how many in a box?
She had 137, she counted.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We got a whole box. And they are serious because during the process, some of it just kind of like splattered on my foot and it burned throughout the entire shoot.
Foot?
Throughout the entire shoot. It was burning.
Are
I was
you
like,
serious?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
And she goes, aren't you glad that I gave you all the surgical equipment that you made fun of in the beginning? I didn't make fun of it. I was like, do I really need all this?
Yeah.
And then in the end, I was like, Granny knows best.
Well, in your promo for that particular episode, I was cracking up because she says something about washing your hands. Otherwise, you might touch and burn your lady parts.
Yeah, she's okay. So she's the spiciest grandma
in
more ways than one.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah, and she catches you off guard. Like, I didn't know she was gonna say that, and she goes, "Yeah."
What did she say exactly?
Oh, here's another granny cooking tip, guys. If you guys are making hot sauce, and this is straight from Grandma Louisa from Trinidad and Tobago, after handling those Scotch bonnets, don't wash your lady parts, okay? Don't wash your vagina because you're going to burn it right off. Those are words of wisdom from Grandma Louisa.
Oh, my God. And this recipe, which was Scotch bonnets, mango pickles, gooseberries.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these recipes, I remember her saying that she keeps them in her system, which is just her brain.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All these recipes are just sitting in her head.
Yeah.
And you're helping get them out and onto paper and into people's lives.
Exactly.
Oh my God. What was it like opening that container of the hot sauce, the fumes and everything?
It was more after the pot had been boiling and simmering for hours. It was more when you opened up that lid.
With the vinegar and everything like that.
Yeah, that's when it really hit you.
Oh my God. Just the thought of it.
She teared up.
She's so charming. And I love when she says that grandmas don't let things go to waste.
Yeah, I know. You have to get every last bit.
Tell us about what it was like to listen to her story. I guess she had kind of like a hard story also.
Yeah, so the reason I wanted to expand from my grandmothers and include all these others is because, one, in multicultural New York City, it's multicultural because of the sheer number of immigrants living here. And for a lot of them, the reason they are here is because, you know, it's a land of opportunity. It really is. I mean, I hope that doesn't get taken away from us. But it has historically been the land of opportunity. So they come with some pretty tough backgrounds, whether it's, I wouldn't call it escaping, but more like I would say putting it in their past and then making do with the present and the future, both for yourself and for your family. So Grandma Louisa, she actually found herself in an abusive relationship with her ex-husband. And when she left him, she knew that she wanted to, you know, support her family, but it was really hard to do so on Caribbean currency. So she moved to the U.S. where the dollar was... just had a higher valuation. So she came over to Brooklyn and then started working there and was able to, you know, she sent money home to her kids like every month.
They come to the States for better education and opportunities. And some of the grandmas, they come at a later age in life. Like
she did, yeah.
Like Grandma Lumen even.
Yeah.
So Grandma Lumen, who is your Filipina grandma, cooking the
Filipino pie.
Representing, so proud. She cooked the ube halaya. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so purple yam. I know, right? Like I read all these reports about how ube or purple yam is now trendy.
It is.
Yeah, ooh. Which is funny because, you know, like Lumen doesn't care about that stuff. Just like, really? Okay, sure. That's great. Okay. Yeah, she was really admirable because she came from the tropical Philippines to New York, like faced her first winter in the Bronx.
First winter as an adult.
Yeah. And then she became a public school teacher in the Bronx to, you know, kids have so much attitude. And she was
She came to New York in her 50s?
Yeah.
And straight into the public school system?
Yeah.
Teaching sassy fifth graders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I know. Could you imagine? Oh, my God.
Actually, I can't imagine. And that's why I'm like,
I
don't want to do that.
But she has so much charisma and just a way, I don't know, just like a certain demeanor. She was able to whip them into shape. I mean, with so much love. Like they started, you know, giving her a lot of attitude about her accent even. And then, you know, she taught them, you know, the reason I have an accent is because I know another language. It's not just English. I come from a different country, and I really hope that in some point in your lives, you are able to go and explore the world because it's not just the Bronx.
That's so beautiful. Grandma Lumen, our Filipina grandma. She is my kind of replacement grandma in my imagination for this
episode. Lola.
She's my Lola. That's what we call grandma's Filipino. And I feel like my grandma would have been cooking the same stuff. So the ube halaya is just, it's sweet. It's condensed milk, sugar, heaven, love. Coconut in there also. I just love that. And I especially loved her home because it reminded me, like looking around, and all of the granny's homes, like the bric-a-brac,
mm-hmm.
and the decorations, the wallpaper and things like that, like very granny.
Yeah. And you were so right on about the plates and the dishes.
Oh, totally. It's so beautiful. Your next episode is, if I remember correctly, Indian food.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Indian food with Grandma Sunny.
Yeah.
And she made fresh cheese.
Yeah.
Which was so easy. I couldn't believe how
paneer.
Yeah, so tell whoever's listening how you make paneer. She made matar paneer, which is peas and Indian cheese and mm-hmm. that sauce. Super easy.
It was definitely a lot easier than I'd expected. I never would have thought that I would make cheese. So she did, you know, I did it with her the first time. And then I did it again when I was recipe testing to put together this e-recipe book. And, of course, I was following her instructions. And it was really not that difficult.
It's basically you heat up the milk, right? And then
you boil, depending on the quantity you want. And me, I always want more rather than less. And
so a lot. Big quantity.
I love leftovers. So seriously, the more the better when it comes to food. So you want to boil a gallon of milk, and then you want to put in some lemon juice. And it's really the chemical reaction between the citric acids and then the fats, the lipids of the milk that come together. I mean, don't quote me on that.
Just but, watch the video.
Yeah. And then it just forms all these, clouds of curds, these clumps. And then you put them together, strain them through a cheesecloth. But the trick really is making sure to let that sit for long enough that they don't break apart when you're adding them to make the matzah paneer, the actual curry dish.
So it firms up when it's sitting.
Yeah.
And how long does it have to sit for in that cheesecloth?
So I did it. Oh, and another thing is you have to put something really heavy on top.
Oh, to press it.
Yeah.
I got it.
So
I'm smart. Between that and the Indian spices in that episode. And let me just say something about ingredients that go into grandma's cooking. Onion and garlic is God.
Of course.
Onion and garlic and cilantro is God, I have to say. All the grandmas cook with that. Ginger, too, is also. Oh, my God. I can't even.
Onion
same with
and
rice.
Garlic is just heaven.
Throughout the world, because you're also involved in the food industry, like the staple food things are like onion, garlic, rice. There's lots of rice everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean,
the carbs.
And we all have these in common, but people present and prepare them and cook with them in different ways.
Exactly.
And that's amazing because, wow, all these different tastes with these similar ingredients.
But that's the reason for, that's the thinking behind my first event is that, you know, you take noodles, right? So you can have, you know, ramen noodles, and then you can also have like Italian spaghetti. So it's all different cultural spins on the same, on one dish, you know, and how many different cultures have their variations of dumplings.
Right, right. And how many different cultures
use
cilantro in different ways. Now cilantro, which is also known as coriander, which I only learned that the same thing like maybe a decade ago. I was like, oh, they're the same? Why do they have such different names? So cilantro used in Indian cooking is very different from the way it was used in your episode with Grandma Maria, the Puerto Rico pernil episode. So sofrito she used.
Sofrito.
Tell me what that is.
Sofrito is the foundation of like all Puerto Rican cooking. It is a mix of garlic, onion, cilantro, a different kind of cilantro called recao, which you can get in Latin American grocery stores. And you blend it together. It becomes this really vibrant grass green. And then you can store that in your fridge. And then you always put out, like, you know, put in different tablespoons of it into whatever you're cooking. That's the spice foundation. That's the base.
The base flavoring.
Yeah.
It's herby, garlicky. Yeah. Is it, what else goes in it?
It's super pungent. So I actually tried it. So, okay. So this is the base of dishes, right? Not the dish itself, but of course I had to try it. I tried that one too. And it was like, I mean, I love garlic, but I was floored. I mean, I think I reeked of garlic like for, like hours after that. I mean, it was really tasty, but I was like, yeah, use it as a base, not as the dish.
That's a great episode because you get to see Caroline stabbing meat. I mean, I personally can't handle meat. I mean, raw meat, I don't eat too much meat either, but she tells a story, Grandma Maria tells a story about strangling chickens and things.
Yeah, she grew up on a farm. Her grandma told her to go kill a chicken, and it was not very pretty.
But, she, you know, if you add sofrito to it, somehow it's better.
Of course it is.
The next grandma is your Russian Jewish grandma. Grandma Nina, and she prepares a gorgeous pot of bell peppers that are stuffed.
Yep.
Just the image of these stuffed bell peppers. I was staring at the screen. I was like, oh my God. It's just so beautiful. And her story is incredible also.
Yeah.
She's got a Nazi Germany escape background as well. You know, tell us about her.
So she was... Actually, yeah, she was in the Soviet Union, and then I learned about this as I was interviewing her, but there's something called the Siege of Leningrad, which was the deadliest military sieges in human history. That's the one where, you know, for the history buffs out there, that's the one where it actually led to people in what is now called St. Petersburg it kind of led to reports of cannibalism because there was so much starvation. Yeah, but it was really intense. Grandma Nina, though, she was living there as a kid, and so there was a government-sponsored evacuation. And they got all the schools, they emptied out all the schools and then put the kids on a train. And then they were on the train platform, like, waving goodbye to their parents. And the kids had no idea. They thought they were going on this, like, fun trip or something. You know, they had no idea. And she's telling the story, and I was like, oh, my gosh. She was like, we were having fun. You know, we were just saying bye to our parents, you know. But the thing was, I mean, that was what led to their safety, right? The children's safety. So they're on this train and they didn't really tell the kids exactly where they were going, but they were headed east towards Siberia. These are elementary schools, you know, the children from various elementary schools aboard this train, and the trains would get bombed. So then the kids would have to leave because the trains would break down, and they would have to leave, and then they would have to seek refuge in the forest or wherever it was that they ended up, or there it was like a small town or whatever. And then she said, you know, this was like really touching. I was like, it was really heartbreaking. She goes, you know, what I can remember is that all the time the kids, you know, we were just starving, like all the time. So when you hear something like someone like also Grandma Louisa, who's like, you know, you can't waste anything. And that's what I really admire about them, is that they do come from a period of, you know, where, you know, even crumbs are worth something. And to really value, like, not wasting food. And yeah, and she is, I mean, it was a really sad story, but it turned out really well because she's in New York right now.
Yeah. And cooking those bell peppers, those stuffed bell peppers, which I want a vegan version of. You haven't had a vegan grandma yet. I guess that wasn't happening decades ago, but maybe decades from now we'll have some. And
maybe.
Then you had a Greek, your last grandma was a Greek grandma too.
Yeah. The
wrestling some octopus.
Oh gosh. Yeah. So was that a story?
She's Yaya.
Yaya Barbara. I love you, Yaya Barbara. That was crazy because I love eating octopus, but I had never actually made it.
I can't handle it.
It's like slippery and wet and just all the tentacles.
But when you watch Yaya make it, she's boss.
Of course. Of course. She's like, oh, this again? Yeah. Oh, my God. But the thing is, when she's talking about dismembering all the parts, she's just like, oh, yeah. Well, first you just got to remove the eyeballs.
And I think she said turn the head inside out, right?
Yeah, turn the head inside out, and you got to take out that beak. And
I can handle it. I can handle it.
Yeah. I mean, she was just like, now you got to cut the arms. I mean, it was so graphic. She's, yeah.
But those are grandmas, and they're so hardcore.
Exactly.
Please watch Cooking with Granny. Check out the event again. What's the date again and the website?
Wednesday, June 29th. And there's a save the date. I actually just announced it yesterday. So if you go on facebook.com/cookingwithgranny, there you'll see the save the date.
Awesome. Well, this has been our episode with Caroline Shin and our grannies. You've been listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.